Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Welcome, hi, Monday morning.
Yes, I'm
probably where you are as well. 6:10.
Yes, I'm going.
Walked into the studio this morning. There's a very subtle sign in the back of the studio. The Skokie 4th of July Parade Grand Marshal Dave Hennett. What is that? That's about 15 feet long.
That's a huge sign.
I had noticed it, Steve.
I'm sure you had.
Funny, it's behind
me. I thought you
me.
Slept with it all weekend, Dave.
Wow.
Mary.
Where are you going to put it?
No, it's nice.
Oh, I think it's staying right here.
Oh, no, I think in your family room at your house.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
I'm sure my wife would be fine with that.
I'm sure she'd love it. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Thanks. I know you and Mary were here on Friday. Steve, were you here Friday?
I wasn't here.
Mary wasn't.
Yeah, I was not here on Friday.
Super Joe,
it was just
and I
you.
Were here.
Super Joe. So how'd the show go?
Super Joe?
I thought it went great.
Yeah. Just so, you, Dave, and who is it, Carmen?
Well, it doesn't Carmen. Really matter who else besides me and Dave.
That's a good point.
G was here.
G sure was. Yep.
Delightful lady.
Very nice. Very nice.
Okay. Heidemann took the day off, did he?
He yeah. sure did, yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty good for a guy who's been here
well,
for like 2 weeks.
Started, yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice. I'm very itchy today.
I beg your pardon?
Well, I got bit up. I was in the North Woods. The mesquites are awful. Man.
Well, you can tell. When you get up towards northern Wisconsin and Minnesota, you can tell because the mosquitoes wear gang bandanas.
Oh.
And they still have like 80s boom boxes they fly around with on their shoulder.
Oh, yeah. They don't care. They rule the roost up there. Yeah,
they have landing lights. You can see the landing lights.
Exactly. When you see mosquitoes on the ground with tiny flashlights bringing them in.
Plus, with the rain, they're just, you know, all over the place.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So I'm kind of itchy, so excuse me if I have to, you know, itch certain spots.
So if you're
today.
Touching yourself in odd ways this morning,
yes.
I should just not pay attention?
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially my head. They were biting on my head.
Yeah.
You know, like in my hair.
Imagine a problem I would have had if I was there.
Yeah.
Good Lord, would have been an old country buffet.
How you feeling, Steve?
I'm fine.
Really?
Yeah,
good?
How'd that recovery
fine.
Go?
Yeah, fine. Mm-hmm. I think I may have been faking it.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I thought I was sick,
mm-hmm.
but by the time, you know, Thursday, Friday rolled around, I felt pretty good. Yeah.
Did it prevent you from watching fireworks?
No, I saw enough of those. Yeah.
On TV or outside?
Both. Yeah, both. But I'm much like a schnauzer. I get nervous if there's too many fireworks.
Were any canceled?
We got to get you a thunder shirt.
Oh, gee. Yeah.
Were any what?
Canceled? Because, you know, I wasn't in the area. Was there any rain problems?
No.
No, well, there's a new thing we're doing here. It just rains every day.
Right, so that's what I thought. I thought, you know, something would be canceled.
Yeah, but it really didn't this weekend. I mean,
we got a couple afternoon things. It was turning into South Florida, where it rains every afternoon at 3 o'clock for mm-hmm. 15 minutes,
and then the sun comes out.
Yeah,
no rain on your parade, huh?
Dave was Dave. Your parade was, I mean, a home run weather-wise, right?
Yeah, it was great. It was warm, but not uncomfortable.
How did the public greet you? Were they glad to see you? Was there any booing?
Did anyone throw anything at you? I hope not.
No, good. No. Everybody was great. I heard a lot of Go Cats.
Yeah?
I heard a lot of people love you, love your show.
How was your parade wave?
I thought it was pretty good. Yeah. I thought it was pretty good. I did a lot of, you know, and the indistinct point, like, hey.
Sure.
Hey, you, yeah.
The Czechopic point.
You got
now,
it.
I mentioned this Friday. One faux pas I committed. A guy wearing a Northwestern hat, and uh-huh. his whole family, as we came by, they in unison yelled, "Go Cats."
Go Cats. Okay.
So I had a Northwestern hat in the car.
Okay.
I wasn't wearing it because I wanted to be able to people to see me. I wanted to be able to see them, but I thought I might need it later because of the hot sun.
Uh-huh.
So he pointed to the N on his hat, and I held up my hat with the N on it and pointed to the N. Right.
Why is that, Ben?
And he then ran, thinking I was giving him my hat.
Oh,
so he ran up to the car, and I said, "Oh no, that's my hat," because I thought I might need it
just
later.
Toss it to him,
and that's what my wife.
900 hats.
I do. I have a million of those hats, and I immediately felt terrible. My wife said, "Why didn't you just give him the hat?" I said, "I don't know. It was just one of those things, spur of the moment." So if he's listening, buddy, I'm hat sorry. Scrooge. I should have given you the hat.
312-981-7200. If you're the guy that Dave Bennett screwed out of the hat, call us. We'll get you a hat.
I'll give you 10 hats.
What he said about you since, Dave? Boy.
The guy felt embarrassed. He ran up to the parade float that he had to go back.
Almost
His
got
kids
killed.
Were standing there.
And he got arrested.
Yeah, my security detail then tackled him.
Yeah, threw him to the ground. Kids going, Dad, oh, God, you're so embarrassing. Why'd you run up try to take his hat?
You didn't even get it. Gee, Dad.
I know. I felt like I broke the parade rules. And then I got Dean. Did you see that, Mary? Dean on Facebook dissing me for riding in a car because he was Grand Marshal in Niles, and he turned down the car, and he walked the parade route.
Well, yeah, but the Niles parade was only 2 blocks.
True.
Yeah. But you Grand Marshals, you have these little spats between each other.
It's evidently, like I didn't know that. I'm new to it.
Was there a Grand Marshal throwdown between you two?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Dean started it.
Well, we'll find out this morning when Moron Entertainment returns at 8:10. I'm making a note of that right now. Ask Dean about Dave. And again, I'd like to have the guy on that didn't get that free hat from you.
Yeah, because then we could send him one.
I'm pretty sure he'll never listen to this show again.
So I'm just kind of curious, Dave, what are you going to do with this big sign? Is it just going to stay there all year until next year, or are you going to take it home?
Mentioned, Steve, they're going to put it up in their family room.
Oh, you are going to take it home, right? Yeah.
I was going to volunteer to leave it here.
Could you put it in traffic? Because the sun is shining in my eyes right now. I could use
So you'd like a shade.
Yeah, okay. I could use a shade.
My sign is not a shade for you, man.
Well, it would come in handy today.
And it's definitely not free. I mean, if you got some cash, maybe we can work something out. But
you know what would be great is to see which show tears it down. I think it makes it through Bill and Wendy, through John Williams. I think Rokan rips it down immediately.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely.
No chance.
Yeah.
Is this something
Kevin Powell will.
Is this something you could donate to the Broadcast Museum? Do you think? Is this worthy of it?
Maybe they need shade.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, I'm seeing spots right now. I could use it.
Isn't Dave Plyer now running the museum?
Uh-huh. So it should be easier to get in.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Plyer will do anything you want.
Or you could just use it again next year if you're the Grand Marshal again. Did they ask you twice?
Yeah. Are you going to come back? Or
I think it's a one-time deal.
Oh. Yeah, well, especially after the hat incident.
Yeah. I'll never be. Yeah. I'm not allowed in Skokie anymore.
Sure said. Dr. Kevin Moe's coming up. We do that Mondays. You know, try to keep you healthy, make you healthy, get you healthier. Later on, Ryan Nobles. Bridget Gaynor's coming in today. Short week again. Oh, God, I got to work till Wednesday. I'll be out Thursday and Friday this week. It's a new thing I'm doing. Every Thursday and Friday, I'm off.
Didn't Johnny Carson do that at the end?
Yeah, but at the end, he was making $25 million, so it's just a skosh over where I am. As I said, Bridget Gaynor will be here. Oh, Jeremy Ronick could be on later. Ronick's hockey camp is going on. And, well, you guys on the phone and texters as well, 312-981-7200. We'll do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Chicago, the number three city in the world? I think it's number one, don't you? Meanwhile, timeout.com says we're number three. Timeout Index 2019 says Chicago's just behind New York and Melbourne, Australia. Survey found Chicago, or maybe it's Melbourne, Florida.
I sort of doubt that.
Well, Melbourne, Florida's pretty nice.
It's not bad.
Yeah. Survey found Chicago ranked number one for eating and drinking. Chicagoans are found to be the happiest people in the world.
Wow.
We drink all the time.
They talk to.
They didn't talk to me.
But you don't technically live in Chicago, though, so.
I'm here a lot.
You wouldn't be interviewed.
Survey found 86% of Chicagoans said the city is fun. Well, city is fun.
Yeah.
Timeout Index surveyed more than 34,000 people about the food. Food's the best. Drink.
Yep.
Dave, drink the best.
I have no complaints.
Okay. Culture, absolutely. Nightlife's great. I don't partake in it anymore.
Go to bed at 7 o'clock.
I mean, prior to 2013, I thought the nightlife was great. Community neighborhoods, of course that's great.
Yeah, a lot of festivals, a lot of fun.
Overall happiness, as well as the city's beauty, affordability, and convenience. I've not been to Melbourne. I used to live in New York. Spent a lot of time in New York. Cleanliness? Yeah, New York doesn't do that.
Affordability?
Affordability, no.
No, definitely not.
Chicago, yeah. So Chicago at least deserves that spot.
Mm-hmm.
So timeout.com if you want to see more of the cities that are rated there. Next, bad weekend again. 68 shot, 5 fatally in 4th of July weekend. Gun violence across Chicago. The 1,500 police officers who are working extra hours who are put on special schedules probably cut down the number, amazingly. Try to put a stop to the violence. It seems to come with every 4th of July. Steve, do you know how this statistically compares to last year or other years?
I don't. Not off the top of my head, no.
But 68.
It's probably close to the normal average for the 4th of July weekend. You have to consider, too, it's a long counting period. Started Wednesday evening, ended this morning.
And again, unless we stop the flow of guns from Indiana and stop putting people who have committed gun crimes back on the street, it's not going to end. This is not. Next, Starbucks has apologized to 6 police officers who were inexplicably asked by a Tempe, Arizona store employee to get out or to get out of the customer's line of sight who was complaining about them. The employee told the officers that a customer didn't feel safe with the police inside. I don't quite understand that.
Isn't that kind of counterintuitive?
Yeah, that's a little weird.
The Tempe Officers Association Twitter post about the alleged incident sparked backlash on social media. And a hashtag boycott Starbucks. Okay, now we don't need to boycott Starbucks. This is an employee who overstepped, an employee who was a little too aggressive, an employee who probably should have taken the customer aside and said the other 6 customers who are police officers in Tempe are just as important. And I'm sorry they make you feel uncomfortable. I'm not quite sure why that is. Why don't we sit you over here with your back to them and then you won't have to see them? Because we don't know why you think police make you less safe. I don't know. Starbucks vice president for corporation said an apology about it is necessary. What occurred in our store July 4th is never the experience your officers or any customers should have. Necessary steps will be taken to ensure a similar incident won't happen again. Yeah. Next. Pamplona's first running of the Bulls. In the first of the festival ended in a bloody mess on Sunday with 3 people gored and 48 others injured. Those gored included 2 Americans aged 23 and 46 and a Spaniard as well. You know, you never want to see people get hurt. Or do you? Because honestly, how could this possibly go wrong? Giant multi-thousand pound bulls running down streets, cobblestone streets.
Yes, very narrow.
Slippery, narrow streets where you're running in front of them and you got gored. Kind of hard to go, damn bulls.
So why do they do this again?
I don't even know what the tradition is, do you?
I don't remember.
Despite the
run alongside the bulls and, you know, try to beat them.
Do we know why it started?
No. Crazy people.
Despite
obviously.
The injury. Remember the guy we had on a couple of years ago, Bill?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Bill from Chicago. He got gored. He went back. He got gored again. He wrote a book about how to run and not get gored, and he got gored a third time.
And right. The bull and responded to the bull. To, yeah,
we've talked to the bull. Yeah. We should probably get the bull on again.
Yeah, maybe he was a witness there. Maybe he gored him.
Yeah. Remember how guilty he felt?
He did. He felt terrible.
Very
try to make
upset.
It up to Bill. Remember how Bill's wife wouldn't talk to him?
That bull had PTSD. He was in.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, we should check up on him.
Yeah, so did Bill. By the way, he had PTBD, post traumatic bull disorder. Despite the injuries, the Spanish town will continue to bull run each morning through next Sunday. 6 bulls and other steers are raised daily. Our 6 bulls and their steers are released daily on the narrow street course, which is less than 2,800 feet. I didn't know it was only 6 bulls. I thought it was more than that.
Oh, I thought it was, too.
I think maybe that's a good way to end this. You let about 40 bulls out at one time.
Yeah, then you won't have this anymore.
The next story is awful. Jeffrey Epstein should have been in jail and stayed in jail. there is a member of the Trump cabinet, Mr. Acosta, who was running the Miami prosecutor's office and cut a sweetheart deal with Epstein. This guy's a hedge fund billionaire from New York who is a child predator who was involved in sex trafficking for years and had a lot of his multimillionaire to billionaire friends involved as well. Anybody with a predilection for teenage girls, most of these girls were either prostitutes or runaways. All of them appear to be under legal age, many of them procured by a female cohort of Epstein's, who was once his girlfriend. And his twisted, sick, perverted scam went on for years. So Epstein finally got busted. And a lot of great reporting work, by the way, done by the Miami Herald, which helped lead to this. And he did a year in prison. The year in prison included 12 hours out a day, and the rest of the time in prison allowed to pretty much have free reign of the place and occasional releases as well if he had a project he was working on. In other words, nothing. It was ridiculous. What we know is that at least one of his flights included Bill Clinton and Donald Trump. Trump prior to being president, Clinton after being president, we're told. But the investigation is on, and there are several prominent people who could be implicated in this, Republicans, Democrats, and more. Next, has been mentioned many times, will continue to be mentioned, the U.S. women won their fourth World Cup title, dominating another opponent. Netherlands was really not supposed to be in the final, but they got a good grouping. They plowed their way through. Yesterday's 2-0 win was not as close as it appeared to be. Megan Rapinoe, the U.S. soccer midfielder, was named the tournament's most outstanding player. And they are on the way home literally right now. They're in the air, could land any minute now. So congratulations to the U.S. women. You know, one of the coolest things I saw was a lot of the men, grown men, not even affiliated with the team, wearing the women's jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a bunch of guys walking around with Rapinoe jerseys and Morgan jerseys and stuff. I thought it was great.
They are superstars. They'll be honored with a parade through New York City's Canyon of Heroes on Wednesday, I believe.
Ticker tape parade. Which is great. Which wasn't great was Fox News did a live stand-up at a bar in France and a bunch of American expats chanting F Trump. Be better than that. It's ridiculous. You're just as bad as Trump, if not worse, if you engage in that kind of stupid behavior. 6:31, we're back after this with your headlines on 720 WGN.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
Is Northwestern Medicine BP? Call Dr. Morse right now. Huh?
I'm going to talk the health benefits of a pet in just a second. I got to say, Doc, I really didn't put much into my dog impression there.
No, that was pretty weak, actually. I thought you'd be practicing all weekend.
I'm a pretty good dog barker normally. I apologize. I'm going to talk the health benefits of a dog in just a second. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Todd Manley, the boss, was just in here dressing down Dave Ennett for his rude behavior during
I wouldn't call that a
Skokie 4th of July parade this weekend.
Dressing down.
Doc, I don't know if you heard the story.
No, I saw a picture of Dave in a convertible waving to the crowd.
66 Chevy Impala.
He was doing, really?
Sweet. Oh, sweet. Yeah.
Blue Thunder?
White.
Oh.
White Lightning.
The Skokie 4th of July parade, Dave did a fine job as Grand Marshal, but a guy, a family, a beautiful family, I think we can all agree on that.
Yes.
Beautiful family. Little kids?
I think they were little.
Yeah, little kids. And they all shout, "Go Cats," in unison. You know what I'm saying, Doc? Go Cats.
Oh, yeah.
And when they shout, "Go Cats," and it wasn't wearing his Northwestern hat, the dad was. So he grabs his Northwestern hat, points at the end. The guy thought, well, Dave's giving me his hat. How cool is that? Risks life and limb. He could have been run down by a parade float. Goes out to your float, your car, Dave, to get the hat. And you go, what did you tell Doc? What did you tell him?
I said, I'm sorry. It's my hat. because Doc Most would want me to have some sort of protection from the sun.
Yes.
And that's why I had the hat with me. And I thought, if I'm going to be sitting in the hot sun during the parade, I better have a hat.
Now, when he turned around, shamed by the embarrassment, he was run down by a bus, I understand, in front of his family. Is that accurate?
It was the Bulls from Pamplona. Yes.
No, he went back to the sidewalk, I mean, shamed and embarrassed, and your wife, Karen, rightfully said, "Hey, idiot, you got 20 of these. Why didn't you
call me idiot?" But
Under her breath, she did.
She might have.
So here's what we're going to do, Doc. Once an hour this morning, and I know, even though, Dave, you won't do this, I know Jim Phillips will back me up on this at Northwestern. We'll give away some Northwestern swag, a hat, a shirt, pants.
I'll give
shoes.
Away my hats. I'll get
Dave's,
hats right from my closet.
I don't think people want your hats anymore.
Everything.
I think people know that you're not willing to give them up.
I will gladly give them up. Anything.
All right. So if you would like the first Dave Ennett Northwestern hat, just be the seventh caller now.
If nobody calls.
Just don't run into traffic to get it. Okay? 312-981-7200 is the number. And on behalf of the Steve Cochran Show, we apologize for Dave's behavior.
No one's
He'd been out in the sun quite a bit. All right, Doc, you have three beautiful dogs.
Yes, I do. Very fortunate to have three golden retrievers that just, you know, spark up your life every day that you get to see them.
The greatest thing about a golden retriever is, no matter how many hats you don't give the listeners, you come in, they're going to love you anyway.
Oh, my dog loved me.
Well, Ozzy
as
well.
He's not a golden retriever.
But golden retrievers are all love, right? You ever seen a golden retriever have a bad day, Doc?
Never. Absolutely never. They're wonderful.
So what are the dogs' names?
We have Brandy, Kaja, and Taylor.
And what do they like to do?
Brandy will play ball until your arm falls off. Kaja will eat anything, and Taylor will just want attention from you. Okay. So, I mean, they're just great. I got to see them this weekend, so it was nice.
Yeah, and normally they're in North Carolina?
Yep.
Okay. Because that's where their summer home is.
Yes, they summer in North Carolina.
Yes. All right, so why are dogs important to health?
Oh, Steve, the things that dogs can do for people's health is amazing. And people are probably listening going, yeah, right, you know, prove it to me. And each of these things we'll talk about, there's been studies that have shown, and true studies that have shown the impact here. Something as simple as allergies and stronger immune system. We know the kids that are exposed to dogs at an early age have less chance to have allergies in the future and have stronger immune systems. So something as simple as that, just being exposed to a dog, you know, when you're young, will do that. So having a dog around someone that's less than 6 months old will do that. And then everyone knows about the ones for stress, like you just said, you know, makes your day when you come in at the end of the day and there's a dog, you know, that's there to greet you. So we found that dogs will lower stress and boost self-esteem. And that was a study, you know, from a fairly prominent social psychology journal. So, you know, those are two big things right off the bat.
So the immune system part of that's interesting to me because, you know, you think sort of like it's counterintuitive to some degree. You think, well, no, I'm going to sneeze. I'm going to be around pets. I'm going to be all of that. But exposure actually makes you stronger.
Yeah. And actually, we're even starting to see that more even with food allergies, right? We talked months ago about now they're saying for young kids to get them exposed to peanuts earlier so that they don't end up with a peanut allergy. So I think you're going to find that the immune system at that age is turned on, is trying to figure out what's going on, and actually is going to be more of a protective measure.
All right. So what about this pain management piece? Because this is interesting to me as well.
Yeah, pain management's amazing. You know, this is a local study actually from Loyola, you know, that showed that patients that had a pet come and visit them during their hospitalization stay, even just once, had a decreased need for pain medication. Now, we talk about how we're trying to treat pain now and decrease our use of opioids. You know, people coming out of surgery, you know, have a need because they have pain. But this study showed that just having a dog and having dog therapy visit you in the hospital, less pain. And other studies have shown that people that were on chronic pain management, when given a dog, showed less need for pain medication, even at the home in the outpatient setting.
Is it also because it makes you think less about the position you're in, the state of health you're in, and you're focused on the dog?
Yep, there's two things there. One, it's that, so the psychological portion of it, and two is the activity portion of it. We know that people that are much more active are going to have less pain if they get up and move more. So the dogs, not only from the psychological point of view of being there for comfort, but also we know that the exercise portion of it as well is good for it.
All right, so since we know exercise is important, there's got to be some benefits to your heart, I assume, as well.
Absolutely. some really big benefits. One is that we show again that even being exposed to a dog, just the petting of a dog lowers your blood pressure. So they do a study where they're taking someone's blood pressure, dog comes in the room, and they're actively taking the blood pressure, dog comes in the room, they're petting it, they see the blood pressure go down. So that's amazing. Two, the amount of exercise that you get has shown to decrease cholesterol, decrease triglycerides in those who have pets and walk them. And those who have pets, if I asked you who's better to walk around the block with, you and Maureen or you and the dog, and the dog is actually going to get you more minutes walking. So, you know, when you're trying to make that decision of going for a walk, go ahead and take the dog for a walk. Take your spouse with you, but go ahead and take that dog for a walk.
Maureen never takes me out. I always have to walk myself.
You have to, but it's shown that, you know, you're going to hit 300 minutes a week versus 168 for those that just walk with another individual. So a lot more walking and shows a decrease in cholesterol and decrease in triglycerides.
What about kids? Good idea for kids, too?
Absolutely. You know, especially little kids. Little kids use their dog to communicate. I don't know if you've ever noticed it. You know, you walk up to a little kid that has a dog, you ask their name, all of a sudden you're in a conversation with them. Yep. So that social anxiety portion of it allows kids to learn how to communicate by using the dog, shown it's been used in with grandparents often. A young child will say something to their grandparent about the dog, and that's how they will start a conversation. So really good, if you want to call it an icebreaker, but really good as a topic for initiating a conversation with an adult.
But here's the thing. Heartbreak. These are family members. They're not going to live forever. Yep. What do we do about that?
Well, it's actually a good time. You know, often kids will have a death of a pet early on in their life, and it's a good teaching moment for the parent to teach how to deal with the loss. The parent, the child will look at how you deal with the loss. They'll look at the loss themselves, and they can understand better so that when they have a major loss of a grandparent, of a great-grandparent, they're more ready for it because they've had a loss and they've known how to deal with it.
What about the PTSD piece with veterans? We see this too, right?
Absolutely. You know, that's the amazing part. You know, we look at the veterans and we look at PTSD and we look at other people who have had very difficult things happen in their life. And just the calming effort of that dog, it gives them some strength. It gives them some social anxiety, eliminates that to a point where we need less medication for these individuals, whether it's antidepressants or anti-anxiety medicines. The dog actually sets that tone for them and is great for them.
It's something you ought to look into, kids. If you've had a dog, you know the joy of having a dog. If you've always wanted a dog and you're going, I don't know. And, you know, people in the city, this is another great reason to live in Chicago. This city is as dog friendly as any major city in the world. I mean, there's dog parks everywhere. You know, how many times a day do you see people walking their dogs along the lake and you know, just everywhere? So.
And a lot of people rescue dogs, so that's good. But, you know, having a dog is a lot of responsibility, too. So,
but that's a good part.
Yes.
It does. I mean, it teaches kids responsibility, teaches adults responsibility as well. And responsibility, even when you're out walking, you know, make sure that you have water for them. Let's not run them on hot concrete, you know, things that we don't even think about. But it does make us have some responsibility. Yep.
Now, all dogs aren't perfect. Occasionally come home, you'll find a dog has rifled through your things, stolen your money, and left. But that's rare, right, Doc?
Correct. That's very rare.
Very rare. Yes. All right, we come back, and no pun intended because I don't do puns, PET scans. This is a very important part of the cancer diagnosis and treatment and all of that. So a few words on that as well. Christine Brennan from USA Today, ABC News, CNN, PBS, NPR, best-selling author. She's nothing but great. We'll talk to her about the USA women's soccer win coming up after 7 o'clock. Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in the pursuit of better health care. All right, Doc, we know that PET scans are a diagnostic tool that's really a necessity when it comes to cancer, but there now are really PET scans, right?
Yeah, how about it? This is fascinating. This study came out last week out of Erie Medical School in Pennsylvania. And what they did is they took three beagles and they exposed them to let them smell blood from healthy individuals and blood from patients with lung cancer. And they did that for 8 weeks and they taught them the difference between the two. After that, they brought them into a room and let them go, and there were samples around the room, and they were taught to sit where the where the lung cancer blood was. 97% of the time, they got it right.
97%?
Yep.
Well, I mean, we got to hire more beagles.
Well, yeah, you know what? I mean, people look at it and go, wow, we should be using beagles for this. I think the thing that's more important is we know their sense of smell is 10,000 times better than ours. But if we can identify what they can smell, then we can start to look for that as far as a testing mechanism. So using that to further research as far as identifying what in the blood, what can they smell that we can't smell, what can we do a test to find that. But absolutely amazing, 97% of the time, three beagles taught within 8 weeks. I mean, you put a new PET scanner in a hospital, it might take 8 weeks just to get it installed. So, I mean, it's pretty interesting.
And
they're doing studies right now with colon cancer and breast cancer, the exact same thing.
Wow.
with dogs.
And before I let you go, Ron and Vicky Santo for years are doing the Ron Santo Foundation to develop and train diabetic dogs. These are not dogs with diabetes, but dogs that can identify when someone is having a sugar emergency, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, your sugar drops too low. You can go into a coma. You can die. People don't know that it's happening. Well, the dogs do. And the dogs can smell something. Again, they notice. They know what the blood sugar level is. They do a command, whether it's sit or put their paw or bark, and it tells the individual, oh, my gosh, my blood sugar is too low, and they go to eat something. So kind of amazing how we're using them for not only the blood pressure and the anxiety and the social stuff, but also for some diagnostic stuff as well.
So if you just Google up Ron or Vicky Santo Foundation and diabetic dog training, and you'll see how you can help or possibly ask about a potential dog in your world. Doc, great stuff as always. Go fetch.
You got it, man. I'll talk to you soon.
See you later. Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve Grzanich is next.
Milestone goal for Rapinoe, goal number 50 for her. She's the leader now in the Golden Boot Race.
Rose up the middle. Looking, cutting, shooting, go! Ravel, 2-0 U.S.
One of the coolest things was to see grown men who weren't related to anybody on the team walking around in jerseys with the female athletes' names on them.
How about that?
That was tremendous.
Yeah.
I couldn't be a bigger fan of Christine Brennan, proud Northwestern alum, longtime friend of Dave Innitt, USA Today's national columnist, author, speaker, TV, advocating for women in sports and sports journalism forever, and a must-read. You know, you see Christine read anything, must-read, and she's great on TV. She should be doing TV all the time. And I told you this before, Dave, I read anything she writes. I'd read her mail if she would let me.
I don't think she will.
Good morning, Christine Brennan. How are you?
Oh, you guys can read my mail if you want. In fact, why don't you start with reading the Twitter feed when I deal with the Megan Rapinoe, Donald Trump stuff.
Right.
You can read those. You can imagine what the Trump world says. So, great to be on with you guys. And hello to Chicago and hello to Evanston, Northwestern, anyone's listening up there. And thanks so much for having me on.
How about Dave Innitt, right? Dave Innitt, Mr. Cat, right here with you. It's got to be a thrill for you,
called,
Christine.
We were texting, and he said, I'm the best. And I said, no, you're the best, Dave. And it is true. This is the inside view of what we Wildcats do.
That's right.
All right, so here's the thing. Give me some context here. Is this win this week, obviously it's a great athletic achievement, there's no question about that, but is this even a bigger deal because of this equal pay thing that we shouldn't even be having a discussion about anymore? It should have been fixed years ago.
Yeah, I think it is a bigger deal. I'm sure a lot of the listeners remember 1999, Brandi Chastain and the Rose Bowl, Mia Hamm, and all of that. That's, by the way, the 20th anniversary will be July 10th on that one.
Man,
hard to believe. And I wrote a column back then. I jumped on that bandwagon and said, I didn't even know what the rules in soccer were. You know, yellow card, red card, green card.
Right.
You know, I had no idea. Anyway, but I jumped on that one and put a few columns. And I said, I think there'll be a woman running for president in 30 or 40 years who will look back and say, the most important moment of her childhood was the 1999 Women's World Cup. And you know what? I'm going to stand by that because we're not there yet with this group of women running for president, but in another 10, 15 years, I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
This is maybe even more important because, of course, now the novelty's worn off. Now we expect this. We want our girls to play sports just like our boys. We don't even flinch when we look and drive by a field and, you know, wherever you live in your neighborhood and you see it filled with all girls playing sports. But that was so, you know, 40 years ago, if you did that, you saw a girl on a field that was, probably was there telling her brother it was time to come home for dinner.
Yep, without a doubt. Yeah.
This has happened so quickly, a blink of an eye in our nation's history. And so, yes, I think you never can look at this team in particular, the most famous and best known of women's sports teams on the planet, and not set it against the backdrop of society and our culture. So whether it be 100 women in the Congress, 25 women in the Senate, women running for president, equal pay, Me Too, you name it. This is the team is set against that backdrop, and I have a feeling when they get to the mediation table in a couple of weeks, they're gonna get their equal pay.
Well, that's interesting because what FIFA has said that what they would like to see more money go to the women, but the discrepancy is it's a gulf. I mean, it's a huge gulf between the money that went to the men in the World Cup last year and the money earmarked for the women this year. Isn't it something like over $300,000 difference or $300 million difference?
Right. That's FIFA. So $30 million bonus for the women and $400 million for the men. Yeah, I mean, they're going to increase the women from 30 to 60 million. So that's still 60 million against the 400 million of the men, which any kid listening can do the math. It's awful. But the equal pay conversation is actually domestic. It is the U.S. only. We know so many nations are so far behind the U.S. in terms of allowing women to play soccer. For years, for generations, England did not allow women to play soccer. Can you imagine that?
That's crazy.
And now, of course, they care. But that's what's been going on. So I don't know that there's a more sexist organization on the planet than FIFA. But that's FIFA. And, of course, that's part of it because of bonus money. But the U.S. conversation, guys, and I'm sure people are saying, well, wait a minute, but if the men, blah, 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 whatever. A couple quick things. U.S. soccer is a not-for-profit. To grow the game of soccer is part of their mandate.
Right.
So equal pay should just be a given, the way in figure skating, for example, or gymnastics, also national governing bodies, they pay the men equally because they want to ensure that boys keep coming into figure skating. So it's a carrot. So on that alone, you should be paying equal. Then, of course, performance. Four World Cup victories now, World Cups for the women, two in a row, the most dominant team in the history of the women's soccer, the U.S., of course. And the men, nothing. And so even just if with the men vis-a-vis the women, if the men had done what the women had done, they would have had over $1 million per player. And for the U.S. women, it's basically a quarter of a million. That's not bad, about 260,000. Not bad at all, but not 1.1 million. I cannot imagine U.S. soccer at the bargaining table with this unbelievable torrent of respect, love for this team, front page of every newspaper, Donald Trump, he adds to it, actually, by being against Megan Rapinoe. Throw that in the mix. And this is going to be, again, kids in 30, 40 years are going to be talking about this moment, what happened yesterday as a seminal moment of their childhood. And I think that it's that big of a deal.
Well, and I wanted to dye my hair purple this morning, and Dave reminded me I don't have any hair. But let's just get crass here about just basic money, as you're discussing here, dollars. How about this? The Nike CEO, Mark Parker, came out this weekend. He said, the USA women's team jersey is the highest-selling soccer jersey, men's or women's, ever sold by Nike in one season, ever. So if you're just talking about dollars produced, the argument's over.
Yes, of course, that happened this time. And there is a collective bargaining agreement, and I'm sure U.S. Soccer, one of their points is, hey, we already have a collective bargaining agreement. The women want to rip it up and start over. So, you know, there is that, and I'm sure labor lawyers would have a field day with that. If you already have an agreement, you already agreed on the agreement, why are you now going against the agreement? We know why, but that is a piece of the conversation. Also, the Wall Street Journal reported, guys, a couple of weeks ago, that actually game revenue over the last 3 years since the women won the 2015 World Cup, so 2016-17-18, game revenue, the women are actually making more money, U.S. women, than U.S. men. So these arguments, it's really interesting how the tide has turned, because even with our men being lousy vis-a-vis the world,
right,
and our women being the best in the world, you could make a case a few years ago that the men were bringing in more dollars, selling more merchandise. Well, you can't make that case anymore, and that's why if you were to devise a strategy of how to get to the bargaining table, to the negotiating table, you would have, if you're U.S. soccer, for the women, the women's team, you would have devised exactly this. And if you're U.S. soccer, you're probably burying your head in your hands going, unbelievable. This couldn't be worse in terms of the public relations issues as well as the facts on the bottom line on the economic issues.
And you have to fix this first. You got to fix this first. You can't count on FIFA and the nonsense and the scandals that goes on in FIFA, and certainly the IOC, which we were just talking about off the air with the bribe paid to the Brazil paid to get the Olympics over Chicago.
Yep.
All of that nonsense. You know, let's fix what we can fix, and this can be fixed immediately.
And Christine, there's a pro league, the National Women's Soccer League, and there's a team in Chicago, the Red Stars. In fact, my daughter's a season ticket holder. They go to the games.
Is that right?
Yeah, they love the team. They love the games. What effect will this success of the national team have in terms of expanding or growing the professional game in this country?
So far, over the years, and this would even include the 1980 Miracle on Ice hockey, that you don't, while you see the love of the international team, the U.S., the red, white, and blue, on the field to play, you know, world stage, once they separate and go and play for various cities, you don't see as much interest. And as I said, that would be Olympic sports men and women.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, the soccer, that's great that your daughter has season tickets, and hopefully many other people listening to us right now will say, hey, let's support that. But altruism doesn't usually sell too many tickets, right? Mm-hmm. It's entertainment. You want to go Cubs, Sox, whatever it is, Bears, Northwestern football. You know, it's not altruistic. You want to go. And what we have to do, and I think we're getting there as a culture, with moms and dads looking at their daughters playing sports just like their sons now for generations, several generations, and say, we're going to buy those season tickets for the Red Stars. We're going to buy those season tickets.
Right, there's the difference.
For Northwestern women's basketball. Because that hasn't been happening in the numbers that it needs to happen. Maybe this will be that watershed moment. But so far, whether it be, again, like the Mike Ruzioni and the hockey, that was great. But I don't know that we really saw an increase in boys playing hockey or girls playing hockey. I mean, it was fine a long time ago, greatest moment ever. I was at Northwestern then. But you know what I'm saying? These things don't really have long legs. Will this one now have coattails? And I think that's one of the key questions.
Christine has written, as you know, Dave, more books than Stephen King. I would highly recommend Best Seat in the House as a perfect read in light of what's just happened now about a father, a daughter, and a journey through sports, amongst
great
all your
book.
Great books.
Yep.
Anyway, I love you, and I really appreciate you coming on, and I hope you'll come on whether Dave's here or not.
Absolutely, I will. But Dave is a draw for me, I have to tell you.
you are too kind.
You know what? He's the only reason I'm still employed.
Oh, no. Thank you. I'm so glad you got in touch to do this. It's a big day, and every girl and every mom and dad of every girl and everyone who knows a girl or a young woman should be smiling extra, because the confidence and the power and the empowered feeling is extraordinary.
So
that's
cool.
What makes our country great.
So cool. Thank you, Christy.
Thanks,
Christy. Thank you. Go Cats.
Cats.
How about that? There you go. Right? That wasn't prompted.
And I'd give her a hat.
Well, we'd like if you gave up one. Gary in Hanover Park won Dave's first hat. We'll give away another one later. Stand by for that. We'll explain why we're giving Dave's hats away. It's 7:25. The MVPP. Almost forgot. I've been away for a couple days. The MVPP coming up in just a second. Stand by, Lisa. We'll get to you.
The most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Lisa Fisher joins us now. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you guys. Thanks for having me on your show.
You're the most valuable person on the planet, Lisa.
I can't wait till my husband hears that.
Oh, yeah. You want me to call him and tell him for you? I mean, just let me know. The Antioch Traveling Closet is a very cool idea because you will go where you need to go to provide the basic goods of life that are needed by folks that are struggling, right?
Correct.
So how did this get started?
I started started it. I was talking to a friend of mine that's a teacher in Antioch. We were just randomly talking about children. She was telling me how there's always one child she always wants to take home because they have a bad home life. And then she started telling me about a child that was coming to school bragging that she had been at McDonald's for three nights in a row till really late. And it turned out the reason they were at McDonald's is because their power was turned off. And that kind of struck a chord with me. This child happened to be a year older than my daughter, and I felt bad and I wanted to help. So I started buying this child clothing, and if there was holidays or long weekends, I would put like non-perishable foods just so I know the child was eating. And this went on for probably 2 years. I never met her. I didn't know her name. I would just give it to my girlfriend or drop it off at the school. And then my friend had called me and said, Lisa, your little friend has moved, and she's moved far, you know, she moved out of the district, out of our reach. And it really upset me, and I started thinking, well, if I can help one child, maybe I can help more. So I started talking to some of my mom friends and telling them my idea, and they liked the fact that they were able to bring their clothes over to me and that we were going to basically be recycling them into our community. So I first started off just with school-age children clothing, probably size 6 to 18, and I went and pitched my idea to the new principal at my daughter's school, and she liked the idea. And probably 2 or 3 weeks after that, I got a call from the school that they had a child that came to school without a shirt on. So I packed up what I had, brought this child his size, and dropped it off to the ladies in the office. They let the child go through what he wanted, and that's kind of how the closet came about.
And you've done this for 5 years now?
Yeah, this is our fifth year. We decided, I didn't want to be like, here, this is what you need to wear. I always wanted to give the children a choice. I didn't want to say, here, you have to wear this. And we decided, my hairstylist, I was telling her what I was doing, and she said, oh, well, we should, you know, I could come and cut hair. And I said, yeah, that would be a great idea. So our first one, we thought, we were so excited. We had 35 people come. And then that was an August one. And we had very limited stuff, but we thought we did an amazing job. Well, now we're doing it 3 times a year, April, August, and December. And we are doing clothing, shoes, toiletries, cleaning supplies now, school supplies. And I'm getting probably 6 or 7 hairstylists that come and donate their time and expertise and give haircuts. We're up to probably 350 people, and they come from Lake County, McHenry County. They come from Kenosha County. We don't...
No, you don't tell people don't come if you don't live in Lake or McHenry.
No, we don't. Everybody's welcome. Yeah, it's not just solely for Antioch.
I would hope that people are listening would start this in DuPage or Will or anywhere.
We were keeping everything in a 10x30 storage unit, and we were paying about $170 a month. And we have been able to have our giveaways at the Antioch Senior Center, and they were allowing us to use their facility. And it takes all weekend to set one of these giveaways up. It takes about 6 or 7 hours to set up. And since December, we have been, they have allowed us to keep all of our things downstairs, which is great because we don't have to pay that storage facility anymore. And it's about 800 square feet, probably in the last 7 months, we have just exploded, and we are busting out of there.
Well, this is a good problem to have, but it also is something that you need help with because you're a teacher, you're a mom, you got a lot going on, and you can't do this on your own. I know you have a lot of friends and volunteers who are helping out, but what can people do? Do they go to a website? I mean, they contribute money. How do we help?
Yes, we have a website. It's AntiochTravelingCloset.org. There's a PayPal on there. We would love to be able to help more people more often. We would love to have a facility or a place to call our our home where people could, we could leave everything out, kind of like a storefront.
Yep.
And then, we, you know, when people have fires, we help people throughout the year with many different things. We help a lot of students in Antioch with clothing, shoes, school supplies. We've helped families with food. We kind of do whatever we can to make the burden a little easier. And we're very fortunate. We have, like, for the past couple of years, Gillespie Ford in Gurnee, he donates $1,000 worth of toilet paper to every event. So we get, I mean, people are getting 9 to 12 rolls of toilet paper, and to some people, that's huge.
Yeah, because it's stuff the rest of us don't even think about.
Correct. And, I mean, we've seen a 9-year-old boy cry. He didn't even want to look at clothes or books or anything. He was so focused on laundry soap and toilet paper. It just really, you know, it just tugged at our hearts because we're like, you should not be worrying about this, you know? So we, I have amazing volunteers that have, quite a few of them have become my friends now, and it's just word of mouth in Antioch. Antioch is an amazing town with some very helpful people in it. And
well, I just wish you were passionate about this. I just wish this was a big deal for you. Listen, Lisa, you are fabulous, and it's clear why you're the most valuable person on the planet. I want to send everybody to AntiochTravelingCloset.org. Again, there's a PayPal there that you can easily contribute if you're able and willing. But your time is really important, too. Your facilities, if you're able. If you have any questions on how you can help, there's easy ways to contact Lisa and Lisa's folks there as well. So I hope you get some sleep. Tell your husband to be nice to you. And you are the most valuable person on the planet.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. And I hope you guys have a great day.
There you go. Lisa Fisher, Steve Cochran Show's most valuable person on the planet. Coming back with your headlines right after this.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We've got White Sox tickets coming. Oh, speaking of the White Sox, the lovely and talented Bridget Gaynor's here, and when she's not on the Cook County border running off to West Virginia for a family gathering, she's at a White Sox game. You were there yesterday.
Absolutely. It was a great game.
And White Sox beat the Cubs.
They did.
You stayed for the whole thing?
Left. Well, my son had to work, so we had to leave just at the beginning of the ninth inning, so he had to work.
Felt like you were locked up at that point?
I felt pretty good about it. And, so he had to get going.
Joe.
Trying to encourage a work ethic in my children so that later in life.
What's he doing?
He works at Popeyes.
Oh, well, fine.
Yeah.
That's real work.
It's actual real work.
Yeah, no kidding.
I know.
Did you ever work fast food?
I was a hostess at the Pancake House on 104th, and then I started waitressing. But I worked at Cahooley's, which is on 103rd, and then I worked at the Martinique. And
I don't know if I ever told you this, and I think Mary Vandeville did as well. Worked at Arthur Treacher's Fish and
Chips.
For a day. Because
it's impressive.
The I don't even know what you call it, but the vat of boiling oil that you drop the fish fillets in. I never could batter them properly, and when I pulled the fish fillets out, they looked like they had giant growths on them in odd places.
I don't think if you've done something for a day, you can say, I could never do it.
No, I did it for 6 months, and I couldn't do it.
You couldn't do it either?
No.
So Mary can say, I could never do it, but you could say, I couldn't do it twice.
They put me at the cash register. I couldn't do that either.
You know what I had?
I was goner.
I had fish fillet ADD. I just couldn't focus. That was my problem. Ryan Nobles joins us from CNN. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, Steve. Good morning.
And Bridget, have you met Ryan Nobles from Santa?
I don't think so. Hey, Ryan. How are you?
Hey, Bridget. Good morning.
Good morning.
I work at McDonald's. Have I told that, Steve?
Oh, boy.
Did you last longer than a day?
I always say about my McDonald's career that I worked there for almost 2.5 years, and they never moved me off minimum wage. So I don't know what that tells you about my performance there.
I think it says that your merit pay didn't kick in.
I think that's exactly what it says.
All right. So on the agenda today is a number of things, but this Jeffrey Epstein story is a really big deal. This is the hedge fund billionaire who's an absolute predator, who, thanks to cabinet member Acosta, got a beyond a sweet deal of a year in jail. And the year in jail involved about 12 hours hanging around the jail and 12 hours doing whatever he wanted. He's now apparently, Ryan, correct me if I'm wrong here, but going to be charged on activities between 2002 and 2005, where the statute of limitations hasn't run out?
Yeah, that's right, Stephen. And I think more than anything, what this tells us is the importance of really good journalism, because this was a case that federal authorities essentially swept under the rug. Alexander Acosta, who's now the Secretary of Labor, was the U.S. attorney in that part of Florida when this case was first brought to bear. He worked out a deal with Epstein, who was a longtime political donor of both, should say, Republicans and Democrats, and basically gave this guy a slap on the wrist, very limited amount of jail time for what appears to be a pretty extensive human trafficking scheme that he's at the center of. And the Miami Herald did a very exhaustive investigation into his background and essentially brought back to light this issue and uncovered a bunch of things that investigators either just outright ignored or didn't take seriously enough. And that led investigators in New York, the District of New York, to take a second look at it and see if there were opportunities for them to prosecute. And so that's what's going to happen here today. In addition to bringing to light the serious issues related to human trafficking, which is this is a bigger problem than just one man. There's also going to be a huge political issue here at stake, because this is a guy who President Trump at one point called a very good guy, had a good relationship with, and also, you have a sitting member of the United States Cabinet who was involved in the first level of this investigation, or the lack thereof. So this is gonna broad ramifications in a number of different areas.
Here's the thing. Trump's quotes, and I'm almost word for word here, was he's a great guy, much like me. He likes beautiful women, though he tends to favor the younger side. Ha ha ha. We know Bill Clinton was on the plane with him. We know that Trump was on the plane with him prior to being president, Clinton after being president. It's a hot mess, and there's an awful lot of people this morning who should be very nervous about whatever perverted side deal they might have played out with this guy's authority. Because I'm telling you, if Epstein's going to go away and do 20 years, why wouldn't he talk?
Oh, I agree with that 100%. This is, it's a cliche, but this could easily be the iceberg. These human trafficking teams are never just one guy. There could be dozens of people that are caught up in this, either that were involved in the trafficking of these poor women, or in addition to that, people that were clients or took advantage of awful practice. So this is just the beginning of what I think is going to be a pretty long, drawn-out issue that I think could bring a lot of people down.
Look, and the other thing to think about is this isn't like, running a big immigration scam. You're bringing girls over from other countries. Mm-hmm. These were runaways, girls in foster care, girls that get kicked out of their house. They were homeless. So basically, it's not just, I want to have sex with this younger girl. I'm going to seek out someone who nobody thinks is ever going to believe them, listen to them. Right. And I'm not going to care because I have this big guy with this huge life. And, let's not wreck his life. I mean, there was a similar case in New Jersey where 16-year-old kid rapes a girl in the basement because she's drunk, films it, shows people, and the judge says, well, he's a good kid from a good family, and he's getting great grades. I don't want to ruin his life. And so you want to say, the bigger issue is, what is it? Why aren't we protecting these young girls instead of saying, it doesn't really matter what happened to you. Let's move on.
Well, we're slapping evaluation on these girls that they don't matter.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. Well, and Steve, I think there's also a broader issue that's going to come up in the presidential campaign related to this as well, particularly in the state of Nevada, which is a very early primary state, very influential in the Democratic primary. And, basically every single candidate that comes through there and has a town hall gets peppered with questions about how we should treat sex workers in the United States. Should it be decriminalized? What can we do to prevent human trafficking? And of course, Nevada, with Las Vegas and everything, and there's a level of legality to sex work in that state. This is not just an isolated issue with one guy. This is a big problem in this country, and I think it's something you're going to see the presidential candidates be forced to deal with.
You know what? I think that is an incredibly important point, because this is the thing. This issue of legalizing sex work, and I get that they, it looks like individual sex workers are at these town halls, and maybe that's the case. You legalize prostitution, and you take any ability of the government to go in and try to protect people. Because just like, marijuana is now big cannabis, there will be big prostitution, and the ability to protect people in something like this will be completely eliminated. And I think we have to be extremely careful of what is behind this movement about legalizing sex work, because
nobody's
talking
about it.
Much more nefarious than that.
We're going to run out of time very quickly today, Ryan, because your friend Steve doesn't know when to shut up earlier in the show. having said that, what are you chasing today?
Listen, We may have our first dropout this morning, Steve. Eric Swalwell, the congressman from California, has called a very impromptu press conference.
Oh, did someone pass the torch?
Yeah, so for 3 o'clock your time. So he canceled the trip to New Hampshire over the weekend. So tea leaves are reading that he's probably getting out of the race. It's likely that he wouldn't make the field for the CNN debate at the end of July. But don't worry, Steve. There's a good chance somebody else is getting in because Tom Steyer, the billionaire running Meat Firm P, is now signaling that he may get into the race. So we're still going to have more than 20 candidates. You don't need to worry about that.
All right. Whew. I was starting to think I'd be able to keep track of everybody.
We need another billionaire in this race because they know what's up. Yeah. Being successful in one industry, they know how to run the country. That's good.
They have like a Trading Places scenario where Steyer hires somebody that's like outside that he meets once in a day and, you know, in a hot dog cart, and he tries to have him be the candidate instead. I think I just wrote a movie. It's like a Cyrano de Bergerac for politics. All right. Thank you, my friend.
All right, have a great one. Bye-bye.
Ryan Nobles. All right, so we're going to come back, and if you can answer Super Joe's White Sox trivia question,
oh boy,
you'll win nothing.
Okay.
But the listeners will win White Sox
tickets. So I have a chance to be embarrassed and yet no reward.
That's why you love me.
I'll
give you a hat.
Meanwhile, we have another hat to give away. You know what? Let's do that. We'll give away a Northwestern hat with the White Sox tickets, and I'll tell you the story of why we're giving away Dave's hats.
Okay.
All right, Super Joe's here with his White Sox question of the week. We're giving away White Sox tickets. This time, a family of four can go see the Sox play the Miami Marlins Tuesday night. That's next Tuesday? 2 weeks. The 23rd. 7:10. No, that's next. Is that 2 weeks? Someone do the math.
No, it's 2 weeks.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
2 weeks.
You know me, I'm just ditzy. Tune in every Monday at this time for information. All right, so what's your White Sox tickets question of the day?
All right, so we got the Home Run Derby tonight
yes.
in Cleveland. Uh-huh. Since they started the long ball competition back in 1985, the White Sox have had 5 different players participate.
Albert Bell.
Name one. He is not one.
Oh, I just thought I'd throw that out.
Really? This is so in the weeds. There's no way.
Bill Melton.
No.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Wrong again.
Whom amongst the White Sox has participated in the Home Run Derby since the Derby began when?
1985.
In 1985. All we need is one, right? 312-981-7200 is the number. So, all right, quick story.
Okay.
Because we're giving away a Northwestern hat as well.
Okay.
As you can see the banner in the background, the Skokie 4th of July Parade welcomes Grand Marshal Dave Ennett.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, for being on the show today, you've won that banner.
I get to take it home.
Take it back.
But you don't have to.
Actually, take it back to Aon and decorate your office. So Dave is a very nice guy. You know that.
I know that well.
So Dave's on the parade. You ever been a Grand Marshal? You've been in a million parades.
I've never been a Grand Marshal.
But you've been in a million parades.
I've been in a lot of parades.
Okay.
That is true.
Your parade wave, right? Doing the parade wave.
Yeah,
left,
okay.
Right, left, right. So I worked with Dave on his parade wave last week, and
okay.
He really did well. But there was a family of four or five?
I'm not sure. I lost count. Might have been 8.
Lovely family, little kids, mom and dad. Wearing the Northwestern hat, Dad was. And he had coordinated with the family, probably rehearsed for hours, go Cats when Mr. Ennett goes by. So they all yell, go Cats. It's a salute to Dave. Dave wasn't wearing his Northwestern hat at that point, so he grabs his Northwestern hat. He points at it. The dad thinks, how cool is this? Dave Ennett's giving me his hat. He
Aww.
Comes out to the car, and Dave goes, no, this is my hat. And keeps the
Even
hat.
To the kids. Nice.
Well, no, the kids weren't. They sent the dad.
And then the dad slunk back, you know, obviously
humiliated. I don't know if he slunk back. We were going too quickly. I couldn't see him.
He just sat there on the sidewalk, you know,
Steve, I feel bad enough about this. Why make me feel worse?
Why would you tell him that story? Because you know you're never going to hear the end of it.
That's a good point, Bridget.
We've offered, and Dave, really, what could he say at this point, to give away Dave's Northwestern gear. So we're giving away a Northwestern hat an hour.
Call in?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're giving away Dave's Northwestern hat every hour. And I believe we have the latest winner right here, and coincidentally from Evanston. Marcy.
Hey, Steve.
All right, Marcy, got an answer for the Sox tickets first?
Big Hurt, Frank Thomas.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right, you get the Sox tickets.
I can't believe I didn't get that.
And you get a Dave and a Northwestern hat. Isn't that exciting?
That's awesome, because I live right down the street from the stadium, and I can actually hear the games. Even when I'm home.
Cat. Would you like one that's sweat stained from Dave in the past, maybe with his own DNA on it?
We can get you a new one, Marcy. You don't have to have it.
I,
The sweat stained
one. The old one might be a little more valuable, Dave, but.
Oh, there you go. I like the way
Thank
you think.
Thank you, Marcy. Thank you for listening. Congrats on winning the tickets. And again, if you want White Sox tickets, go to whitesox.com or 866 Sox game. It is Moron Entertainment coming up with Dean Richards. I have several things to talk to Bridget Gaynor about.
Okay.
Some of which she's aware of, most of which she's not. But first at 8:04, we'll come back to the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
it's time for More on Entertainment. Bridget Gaynor's here. Dean, say hi to Bridget.
Bridget, good morning.
Good morning, Dean. How are you?
Delightful.
Excellent.
Before we get to More on Entertainment, Super Joe, a texter wants to know who the other White Sox were in the home run derby over the years.
Well, texter, we have Carlton Fisk, who was in the first one,
okay,
in 1985.
Okay.
Frank Thomas competed in both the 94 and 95 home run derby. He won in Texas in 1995.
Okay.
Paul Konerko competed in the 2002 in Milwaukee. Jermaine Dye in 06. I don't remember where that one was, actually. And then Todd Frazier in 2016.
There you go. See, we are a full-service operation. Mm-hmm. Asking, you shall receive.
Thomas is the only one to win it, though, right?
For the White Sox, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dean, Bridget's here on a very important day because through all your political experience, you've never actually had to be an arbitrator, have you?
No, not outside my household or with my children.
Welcome to the Moron Entertainment, then.
Yeah, because I'd like you to be an arbitrator now battle between Dean and Dave.
Okay.
Because a very ugly Twitter war broke out this weekend.
Oh, boy.
Was it on Twitter? I could be making this part up. Facebook.
That sounds right.
Yeah, over Dave's inability to walk the parade route in the very controversial Skokie Grand Marshal.
And apparently not willing to give up his apparel.
So we needed to be driven.
Okay. Yeah, which I did. Someone said, "Hey, Dean, like your pants." Took them right off. Slipped them right off.
But that was another story.
that wasn't at the parade.
That was later.
You know, and there's sun damage risk, too, if you take your pants off during a parade. It's not just the top of your head.
Very careful where you get sunburned.
So you were mostly, Dean, disappointed in Dave because he rode the parade route?
No, I wasn't disappointed, but...
Hurt?
People were making fun of me.
Shocked?
That's like, where's your convertible?
Oh, wow.
And they offered me the Village of Niles. You know, I was the Grand Marshal of the Village of Niles 4th of July parade.
Right.
Dave allegedly was Grand Marshal of the Skokie 4th of July parade.
Allegedly?
And people
He even has a sign. I don't know.
People were, people were mocking me on social media that, where's your convertible? Dave had a convertible. And they did offer me a convertible to ride in, but I chose to be a man of the people. I chose to be the way grand marshals are supposed to be, up close and personal, shaking hands, kissing babies.
But you were also displaying your vigor, so maybe that was it. You know, this is like, wasn't
what
it
about
like
his
Ronald
men?
Reagan walked in the parade and Kennedy walked in the parade. Bill Clinton walked in the parade. Yep. They don't ride.
Just his vigor or was his vim on display as well?
I think it was his vim and his vigor.
Yeah, when I took my pants off, my vim was very clearly visible.
Wow. This is a family show.
Well, so is his vim. in the big picture of things, without taking any further evidence, who's a bigger baby, Dean or Dave?
Who's a bigger baby?
Yeah, you're the arbitrator.
Like, when did you stop beating your wife? Like, there's no good answer here. I'm a big fan of walking in parades because you do get to see people.
It was fun.
And you probably, Dave, underestimated how much people wanted to hang out with you. Is it maybe it's Dave's humility and Dean's lack of humility, or is it Dave's lack of vigor? It's one of those two things. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I don't think I like vigor. I didn't know I had the option. I thought the deal
Dave is a rule follower, and they probably told you, get in that car.
They had
a convertible. It was behind us. I was walking with the mayor of Niles, and they said, do you want to ride in the car? I said, no, I would rather walk.
Let's be honest, though. You're not a rule follower, and you're like me. If somebody told you you had to ride in the car, you'd go blow it out your butt. I'm walking.
Well, that's partially true also. But it was fun to be able to say hello and shake hands and take pictures.
So it's a tie.
It's a tie. I think it's a tie.
But here's the only problem, is that in his tweet or his Facebook post, I forget, maybe in both, Dean suggested that anyone who rides in a parade is a wimp.
Is a wimp.
Close quote.
Is a wimp.
And a really important, unfortunate thing is Mother Teresa was the Grand Marshal in the Downers Grove 4th of July
parade.
She
walked.
No, she rode.
Oh.
And Dean called her a wimp.
Sorry.
So.
I'm out now.
Sorry. Dave's a runner. Dave could. How long is the Skokie parade? A couple of miles?
Probably. I could have walked.
I doubt it's a couple of miles.
That's a long
probably
parade.
Probably 10 blocks.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, you're really a wimp then.
How long is the Niles parade?
It was up like almost 2 miles.
Okay.
Is there a pecking order in the suburbs? Like, if you start out at Skokie and then you work your way up to Niles and then eventually, like, you hit the mother load and.
Oh, like a minor league parade system?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What happens?
I'm not aware of that either, but. Anyway.
I don't think I've ever been to Grand Marshal.
You get called up in September for the Labor Day parade because it's easy.
Right.
And, yeah,
end of the season.
Penalty. Yeah.
I don't think. I may have been. And by the way, this is not an ego thing. I just don't remember.
This is not a big enough deal for you?
No, but my point being. Like every other thing, my policy remains the same. I would like to be invited to be the Grand Marshal, and I will not show up.
Yeah.
Okay?
How about if they make it really Grand Marshal?
You mean like with a poobah hat and the whole deal?
Yeah, they create a whole new position that you are not the Grand Marshal, but the really Grand Marshal.
Oh, that'd be sweet. Yeah, I dig that.
With
yeah.
a sash? Get yeah. you a sash?
I don't know what this question means, 630 texter. Did Dean blow off a cannon like Dave?
I did. There's this like a Civil War era cannon, and they had me
what
walk.
What could go wrong?
I was in the reviewing stand. They had me go out and pull.
You shot it?
I did. Did
you hit the guy
me.
Who didn't get your hat?
I hope not. No, no one was injured, but it was a little scary. I mean, this thing was loud, and the whole thing, the cannon shook. They warned me. The better. Prepare for a really loud noise.
Dean, another helpful texter, 815. We have to keep in mind that Dave has been around since dinosaurs roamed the earth and the North and South fought one another. Might be easier for him to ride than walk.
I don't think that's fair.
Right. He's in fabulous shape.
Dave could outwalk me in a million in any competition that there is. But to answer the question, I did not blow off a cannon. But I did have Mexican food the night before.
This is why Bridget gets up and comes in here.
Oh, Steve, there were many highlights. It was such a wonderful morning. The parade was so fun and just a great time. My favorite moments of the parade is I'm walking down the parade. People are lined up the entire route and waving. And about every block, somebody would yell out, "Hey, moron!"
You know what that is, kids? That's branding.
Somebody texted me saying, "Did you hear me shout, 'Hey, moron'?" Which I did hear people because I was walking, I wasn't riding, so I was like up close and personal with people. But the person said I yelled, "Hey, moron," and everyone around me looked at me like I was being insulting to you.
Well, here's the thing: I invited Bridget to join John DeCoste as an apprentice moron, and she said, "I have a reputation. I actually have I have a family.
I've graduated.
I have a life.
I don't need to apprentice at being a moron."
Stevie Wonder, the Disney star tragedy of the weekend, the father of the bossa nova, and Justin Bieber and Tom Cruise, all coming up.
Oh,
stand by.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
Sponsored by Ravinia. Back to Dean Richards at Channel 9. Another texter, Dean. I hate that moron bit. It's so disrespectful to Dean. I think he's being a good sport and just going along. Your mother wouldn't approve.
No, I am a moron.
Yeah, okay. Well, then, case
proudly,
closed.
Proudly. Get on the bandwagon. Don't hate.
This Stevie Wonder story is sad to me. But, you know, I mean, he's got good doctors, right?
Yeah, he's 69 years old, Stevie. It has been rumored that he's been having kidney failure for some time now. And at a concert in London over the weekend, he made the announcement from stage where he said that he is going to have a kidney transplant, that there already is a donor in place. He's feeling okay, and that He's going to finish out his tour, which is three more shows. Then he's going to take time off and have the kidney transplant in September. So, you know, it's, kidney transplant surgery is fairly common, very successful. So, you know, it should...
No reason to believe he won't be okay.
No reason to believe
that. And he'll write a love song about it.
Right.
Or a great song about it, or a funky song about it.
Kidneys.
It's just my kidney. Well,
thank you for your kidneys.
Dean's bringing nothing but death stories today. What happened to this Disney kid?
Oh, this is awful. He's a 20-year-old, which is...
Oh, my God. I heard about that.
The like a seizure situation?
Part of the whole deal. Apparently, he had an ongoing medical condition that caused him to have seizures. Apparently, he had one overnight over the weekend while he was sleeping and died in his sleep from this condition. Those are the early reports. They're going to do an autopsy on Cameron Boyce. A lot of you know him from the Disney show Jesse. He's been in lots of Disney TV movies. He starred in Grown Ups. He was one of the kids with Adam Sandler and Selma Hayek in Grown Ups 1 and 2. And both Adam Sandler and Selma Hayek reacted on social media saying what a great kid he was and how sad they are. It's a horrible story. 20 years old.
The father of the bossa nova died?
Yeah, you know the song Girl from Ipanema, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's... I think
this is Bob and Connie Nova's son, Bossa, the father of the bossa nova?
Yes.
Listen, I'm an idiot. I get it. It's more entertainment.
Why we call it more entertainment.
All right, the girl from Ipanema, name it.
So the song Girl from Ipanema came from a Grammy Award-winning album. In fact, the Grammy Award-winning record and album of the year back in 1964. Exactly. The album was called Get San Gilberto. And it was João Gilberto, a very, very famous Brazilian guitarist, singer, who passed away over the weekend, 88 years old. He's a big deal, and he's considered to be the father of the bossa nova sound. As I said on my own show yesterday, whenever I had the opportunity to play this song, Girl from Ipanema, or anything from Stan Getz and João Gilberto, were the only 3 minutes of enjoyment that I had in the 3 years that I was there.
Dean did not enjoy his time as a jazz DJ.
I was not as smooth as everyone thought.
And Justin Bieber and Tom Cruise are fighting?
All right. I'm so sick of this Justin Bieber thing with Tom
Cruise. Who's crazier, Justin Bieber or Tom Cruise?
What is Justin Bieber's deal with Tom Cruise?
Right.
A month ago, he challenges him to a fight. Maybe that's it. Challenges him to an ultimate fighting championship. Tom Cruise responds by saying nothing, completely ignores him.
As he should.
Which is my favorite part of this whole story. He gets zero rise out of Tom Cruise with the whole thing. And now, you know, everyone's doing this bottle cap challenge. Have you seen these videos?
So stupid.
Where people take a bottle, they mostly unscrew the cap. And then
you have to kick the cap off without knocking the bottle over.
One kick without knocking the bottle over. So Justin Bieber does it.
I've got a bottle set up at about 6 inches off the ground so I can reach it with my foot.
So without too much strain. Bieber does it and goes, this is Tom Cruise's head. And he knocks the cap off of the bottle and challenges Tom Cruise now to do the bottle cap challenge. My guess is that Tom Cruise's response once again will be crickets.
Yeah, which it should be.
If there's any hope.
Right?
Right. If there's any humanity.
Tom Cruise is 57 years old or something. 58.
He could do it. I mean, he could. I sort of would like to see him fight Justin Bieber just to shut him up once and for all. Because, you know, Tom Cruise is a very, very fit, man for any age, really.
Mm-hmm.
But Justin Bieber.
Can you really say you're in a fight with someone if the other person's totally ignoring
you? Yeah, it's not responding,
like,
right?
I mean,
that's true.
Do you have to say, like, well, you know, it's that fight I'm picking with fill in the blank? You're not in a fight because that's a twofer.
That's true. You can't fight if you're the only one.
It's like saying a stalker is in a relationship with someone. No, you're not. You're just stalking them. That is not the same thing.
Actually, you may have hit on it. Justin Bieber is stalking Tom Cruise.
Him. Yeah.
So, all right, we've come to an end of what we call Moron Entertainment.
It's been delightful.
And
more delightful than usual.
Dean, thank you for being on, and thank you for whatever it is you do for a living.
Thank you, everyone, at the Niles Parade, where, once again, let me just emphasize that I walked. I did not ride by choice, and I want to especially thank everyone courageous enough to shout out at a festive 4th of July parade. Hey, moron!
Oh, it's so sweet. Thank you, buddy.
Yep.
That was sponsored by Ravinia. Coming up, Bridget Gaynor will explain everything that's going on in Cook County that we haven't talked about before.
Oh, absolutely.
Stand by for that.
The Steve Cochran Show. Cochran Show.
From Bridget Gators here. All right, so before I get to Cook County, you have 47 sisters. You're like the Osmond family of sisters.
Right, exactly, except we don't sing.
And you guys all were all in West Virginia?
Yeah, we're in, my sister Mary lives in West Virginia. She's a doctor in a small town there.
And what kind of doctor?
Family practice.
Okay.
So everything up and down. And so it's fantastic because then whenever I start to, your hypochondria starts to rear up, you get to call someone and say, like, I have this thing on my arm. What is it?
Yeah.
So.
And she goes,
she gets
it's a bad,
of,
bad cell.
Photos. Yeah. So they live out there. They live in Morgantown, which is where the university is, but they have a big farm about an hour away, and I love it.
Oh, the farm's phone, like out in the boonies.
The farm's out in the boonies. Your cell phone doesn't work. You know, there's
wow.
a chicken coop where the kids go to get eggs in the morning, and it's fantastic. It's paradise.
It's Green Acres.
It's Green Acres. Exactly right.
So what do you do when you go there?
We went down, there's a river called the Cheat River, and so it's we did a two-hour...
Cheat River?
The Cheat River. Two-hour tubing ride down there. We did that. We
wow.
had a lot of big dinners. We usually start drinking around noon and just ease into the day.
Well, it had to be sort of cathartic, too. After losing your dad last year, you guys had to tell yeah. some great stories
no,
and all that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, but that's like every weekend for us, or every time we're together. So.
Right, but was this all the sisters?
No, Nora wasn't there. So
okay.
Four of us were there. Yeah. So
need a program with your family.
Yeah, we do. We do.
All right, let me get you back to Cook County.
Yeah.
As Cook County Commissioner, you guys have meetings coming up.
We do. We're meeting at the end of the month, but tomorrow is once a year the land bank gets together and we honor all our developers. And so
tell people what the land bank is.
So the land bank, it started coming out of the financial crisis when there was a ton of vacant property and court system was all messed up and no one could figure out how to get this vacant land and housing that they
and
wanted
what to
buy
with.
And what to do with it. So we came in and realized that, you know, a lot of the problems were man-made. It wasn't even the big economy. It was the idea that you couldn't clear title or clear taxes or, you know, get stuff out of court. So 5 years later, we started this whole social enterprise, but we'll make about $14 million this year. We don't use any taxpayer money. We will develop our 400th house. We do a lot of single family.
How is that not like another full-time job for you?
Because there's a guy that runs it. His name is Rob Rose. He's amazing. I chair the board. So I started it and, you know, was around the first couple of years, and now I chair the board. And it is, you know, for someone who's a neighborhood person like
no
myself,
kidding.
It's, I know, you know, when you see vacant houses 5 years, 6 years ago in places like Chatham or others, people want to live there. They're awesome neighborhoods. And, you know, we throw up roadblocks with regulations and making things too complicated. And so this is simplifies all that. And now we have 300 small developers and they're doing this rehab and it's awesome.
So what if there's people listening didn't know what was going on and they have money?
Go to cookcountylandbank.org cookcountylandbank.com, and there's all the houses that are on there. And look, you don't need to get a letter from the king or anybody else, and you don't need, all you need is, you know, how to develop homes, you have the money to buy the house. And then you're off to the races.
So you could buy it as an investor, have a contractor come in and do whatever?
Yeah, we sell it. Look, our big push is home ownership. So we don't really like people buying up and then renting out to other people. We like buy and then sell it to a homeowner because that stabilizes the community.
So you have equity.
So you have equity. And about 80% of what we've done is for home ownership. There are some rentals, and that makes sense in some places. But these big companies buying up all this property to rent it out, they're single-family home rentals. I'm not a fan of that at all.
Nobody's pushing against you on this, I hope.
No, but it's just like the wall of how complicated it can be with regulation. Actually, tomorrow we're honoring Judy Friedland, who is the building commissioner and a phenomenal woman. Talk about like unsung heroine. You go into a place that could be 1,000 problems, and she's amazing, and she's just as focused on making it work at the street.
She's a fixer?
She's a fixer in the good way.
Right. But I don't mean that like in an aldermanic way. I mean in a positive way.
She's in a positive way. She's great. And so we're going to honor her tomorrow at our luncheon.
Any mayoral stuff that you can throw in for me? Because we haven't talked in a while.
Yeah, we haven't talked. No, I mean, I think that, you know, obviously it's been tough. The stuff that happened in Navy Pier is, you know, there's some up and downs on the violent spectrum. But I think that, you know, the mayor's hiring some new people and they seem to be smart. I mean, obviously the big question now is with almost a you know, several billion dollars, 996, whatever they talked about, $1 million in long-term liabilities. How do you get around that? How do you get ahead of that without taxing us out of oblivion?
Right.
Yeah.
And she's not going to do the gas tax?
She's not going to. So everybody in the state gets the gas tax. It went up July 1st.
But she has like a 6 cent window or something?
Cities can raise it. You can get an extra 3% if you want. But she's I read that too. She's not going to do that portion. But the city is still going to get an enormous amount of money out of the gas tax. But the thing about the gas tax is you can only spend it on roads and bridges and infrastructure. There's a thing called a lockbox. So even if you get extra revenue, you can't move it around to pensions or things like that. It has to be spent on road construction, more or less.
What do you think about my idea for a tourist stupid question tax? Anytime a tourist asks a stupid question, they have to pay $10.
I don't know. We're taxing those guys pretty hard too. When you what's the last time you stayed in a hotel?
We don't want. We don't want to whack into any of the numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but look, our city's amazing, and people want to come here, and we're lucky for it, and we just got to keep it that way. But both for the people who want to visit, but also the people who want to live here.
Did you see the timeout.com thing?
No.
What? Timeout.com. We're the third best city in the world, behind New York City and Melbourne, Australia.
Well, right, and Melbourne, Australia is really far. So the good news is we're here.
Right, and New York City is dirty, and it takes forever to get across town.
Look, I love Chicago. I think whenever people come here and visit, they can never stop talking about it, and I don't know where else you'd want to live. Of course, as you know, I'm on my full-time thing. So my son and I are at the Sox game yesterday, and he's going to be a senior in high school. So he's thinking about college. And part of me really wants to say, look how awesome the city is. You don't want to live anywhere else.
Right.
Just get into his head. So like over the course of time.
Right.
When he finishes school.
Right. Even if he goes away.
Some girl wants him to live in Cleveland, and I want to say, no, right. I'm the one.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Focus. Yeah. Right.
I look forward to that phone call from you.
I have to get him a copy of that Time Out magazine. I'm just going to leave it on his bed.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm blessed. We're blessed because my son and daughter-in-law are in town.
Mm-hmm.
Most people aren't that lucky.
I know.
And Dave, your kids are in town.
My kids are here.
Yep. Mary Vandeveld, your kids are close enough.
Yeah. 2 hours for the grandbabies.
So I feel for everybody that doesn't have that. And I think all the guilt you can put on them now, the better.
Well, it's a long game. It's like, you know how they talked about the stories of like the Russian kids that would come here when they were three, but then they would grow up and they would have these ideas and they didn't even know where they came from.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping to do.
Implanting.
Over time, just slowly, slowly, slowly.
God bless the evil you're working.
Well, look, you got to plan ahead.
Yeah, that's very
I got a lot of competition out there.
I, of course, am only working Monday through Wednesday now, so I'll see you next week at some point.
Yeah.
Happy whatever today is, Monday.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Bridget Gaynor. We're back with the news in just a moment. By the way, we have cleared up a historical mystery, Dave, from last week. As you may remember, on the 4th of July, the president made a speech in which the president said that our great American war heroes during the Revolutionary War had to protect all areas of our society, including one which kind of surprised me. Here's President Trump's actual speech.
Our army manned the airports. It ran the ramparts. It took over the airports. It did everything it had to do. And at Fort McHenry, under the rocket's red glare, it had nothing but victory. And when dawn came, their star-spangled banner waved defiant.
The amazing thing there was that the Army had to take over the airports, which wouldn't exist for another 150 years.
Well,
130 years. 140.
This was a reference to the
1776.
1776. Fort McHenry was a was, I think, and the Star Spangled Banner. Correct me if I'm wrong. That was
Civil
the
War.
Revolution. That was the War of 1812.
I was,
I believe.
Oh, I thought the Star Spangled Banner was your Civil War situation. Anyway, what I think he covered there was the Revolution, the War of 1812, and the Civil War. And again, in all three cases, no airports.
Sprained all fields.
Well, the airports were there. We just didn't know it.
Right. At that point, they were land.
Fort McHenry was was part of the War of 1812.
Okay, Fort Sumter was when I thought the anthem was actually written. The rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air.
Aren't ramparts airports?
Is that what ORD stands for, ramparts?
I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what it possibly means.
By the way, here is a little...
Airport, it kind of sounds the same.
Here's something I didn't know. Do you know why O'Hare Airport is ORD?
Orchard
Field.
Field.
Twin Orchards, the golf course, mm-hmm. was originally on the land where O'Hare sits now.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and when Twin Orchards sold that land and moved to Long Grove, Twin Orchards Fields, the golf course, mm-hmm. became the airport. So ORD is, Orchard.
Was that before the Revolutionary War or after?
That was before. I don't know. I don't know. I just think if I had known that we were flying planes during the Revolutionary and the Civil War, I mean, my whole history perception would have changed.
You think?
The president, by the way, said the reason that he flubbed that was because it was rainy and the teleprompter screwed up.
But he also said he knew the speech well enough he didn't really need the teleprompter.
Mm. Doesn't help him. 901, hi to everybody at CLTV, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve is next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Hi, atop the 18th floor. Well, it wouldn't really be a top because there's floors above us. But we're on the 18th floor. If you open the windows here, you can't really open the windows.
No.
Because that would be wrong. Why do I start sounding like Hank Kimball?
Are we atop the 17th floor?
We're atop the 17th floor because we're on the 18th floor.
Right.
But you can look out at Navy Pier.
Mm-hmm.
You can see how beautiful Chicago is, and on a day like today, the river, the lake, the city skyline, unbelievable.
See it if we can open the shades.
Well, I can't have too much sun on my head, as you know. And if you look out, you can see at any given time, you can see the Odyssey. We see the Odyssey sail by, and we wave down, and the people from the Odyssey go, you're not invited. But Mitch Seiler is here, and Cruise for a Cause is coming up. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve.
Appreciate thanks for being here. Us.
Thanks for supporting the mission. Means the world.
Well, yeah, it's a big deal. So Chicago's 2019 charity event on the water takes place on July 13th. When is that?
This Saturday.
This coming Saturday.
Yep.
The Odyssey Lake Michigan attendees get the great Odyssey experience, get the great views of the skyline. A little fireworks probably, right?
Yep, 10 o'clock fireworks show.
And you've been doing this for a couple of years now. When did it start? Why? Or not, we know when it started. Why did it start?
Why? So this is the second year. My business is actually nearby the Sertoma Center,
uh-huh.
and I was introduced to the Sertoma Center by a friend of mine, the Torkosic, the Kosic family, and got to get a better understanding of their background and what Sertoma does. I've always been involved with volunteering with special needs, and when I found out what Sertoma does and how many lives they impact, I wanted to create a unique high-end feel event for an affordable price and do as best we can to support them.
Well, it's a big deal because, I mean, I don't know if you know this, I have a brother with special needs. My daughter works with kids with autism, and you know, there's nobody you know that isn't affected one way or another by people right. with special needs. So the folks at Sertoma do wonderful work. So it's nice that you do this. If people get in on this on Saturday, what do they get? They get dinner.
Yep.
They get a great cruise.
It's an all-you-can-drink, all-you-can-eat deal.
Dave, it's all-you-can-drink.
I heard that.
Yep, a high-end and cocktail attire is required. You get 4 hours of that. So boarding starts at 7:30, registration 7 o'clock, boarding 7:30, boat docks back up at 11:30. With that, those four floors, we brought in a new twist to this year. We have a different genre of entertainment on every floor.
Oh, really?
Yep. So the first floor is more laid back, DJ on that floor. Second floor, we have a 5-piece live band over the side that's going to be playing. Along with, we just signed Abby Cash from The Voice from this season. She's going to be also playing with the band for about an hour. And then the third floor, we have another DJ that's going to have a more of a nighttime effect feel to it, right? That also will play on the rooftop.
That's where I'll be, Dave. I'll be dancing.
I know. Yes.
Tearing it up.
Along with that, then, at midnight, when the boat it gets back and everybody unloads, there's going to be coach buses waiting for everybody to take you to a after party at Concrete Cowboy.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a full night, dude.
And then you get your first drink free there as well. So it's really, you know, I tried to create it as affordable as possible for, you know, to fit everyone's needs. And
well, yeah, how much are tickets?
$150.
That's very reasonable. Fair. I'll tell you what we can do if you're up for this. And normally I'd say let's give away a pair of tickets, but this is a charitable cause and it's one that's close to my heart. So let's give away one.
Let's do it.
And then you bring somebody, you got to buy the other one. So basically you're getting in for half price.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. So first caller, what do you want to go? Caller 7? Caller 7, is that all right? 312-981-7200. Seventh caller gets a free ticket. You're going to have to buy another one. You can go alone, I suppose.
Absolutely.
You can meet people. But 312-981-7200. But the idea is we want to raise as much money as possible. Obviously, if we're going to give you a free ticket, you bring somebody else. You ought to entice one of your friends, couples, to come along as well.
Absolutely.
How do you buy tickets?
How do you buy? So www.sertomacenter.org/cruise. That's sertomacenter.org/cruise. We've also got social media, Facebook, Instagram. You can look us up, and you can purchase your tickets there. Also, if you want to be a sponsor, there's also still sponsorship opportunities available as well.
My brother lives in a halfway house, which is a perfect arrangement for him. Sertoma operates some of that as well, transitional type housing.
Yeah, and they just added a new mental health program as well for veterans battling PTSD that just came home from war. So that's also another great program that Sertoma added on this year, which is
the job piece of it too is really important, because having a place to go, get up in the morning, go and do something that not only is a paycheck but benefits people.
Absolutely.
It's a big deal. So Sertoma does a lot of job skill training.
Yep.
And placement.
Yes. So they have housing programs. They teach life skills, hiring services. It really, that's, again, like I said previously, the broad spectrum that they bring to this is really incredible, and they deserve more attention than they currently have. So that's what we're looking to accomplish.
And again, you're a young guy. You got involved in this a couple of years ago because of what?
Because in high school, I was always involved. I did Best Buddies, coached Special Olympics, and did that after college as well.
What was the inspiration for you?
So it started off homeroom. Homeroom in high school, there was a program called Best Buddies. You got to go out and go and play with individuals during recess and gym and whatnot. And that was a great program.
How old were you then?
Senior in high school.
And why did we not make him kid of the week back then, right?
Yeah, really.
Before he turned 19. It's, you obviously come from a good family, because that's not something that's necessarily just in you. It can be.
Yeah.
But it has to be something that instills in you the idea that some people might need a little extra help and they're no different than the rest of us. And
absolutely.
I'm sure you've come to understand this as well. You benefit so much and you get so much from spending time with someone with special needs.
Absolutely.
You get 10 times back what you get.
Absolutely.
So what do you do when you're not doing this?
I sell insurance.
For?
This is the family business. So my great-great-grandfather started an agency about 104 years ago.
What's it called?
Zeiler Insurance.
And insurance for everybody?
Yep.
Okay. Well, give the number out. Plug it.
708-597-5900.
Always looking for more clients, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
So,
from commercial, personal lines, life and health, we handle everything.
How about Grand Marshal or Parade Insurance? Have you gotten into that at all?
Absolutely. Special events, I'll take care of you.
I'll give you a call, Mitch.
All right.
All right, Mitch, one more time. We want people to join you for the Big Odyssey 2 celebration Saturday night, benefiting the Sertoma Center. What time does it start?
7:30.
And what's cocktail attire? Just no jeans, no cutoffs, no
right.
Muscle shirts.
It's a respectable event.
Yeah. Dress up like like a Saturday night. Yep. Look like Saturday night.
Yeah.
And for tickets again and any other information, best place to go is?
www.sertomacenter.org/cruise, sertomacenter.org/cruise.
You're a good man. Keep it up.
Thanks, Steve.
The world needs you.
All right. And then also another add-on with this year is we're actually giving a portion of proceeds also to two other foundations. That's the Andrew Wisher Foundation and the Tom Hopkins Foundation.
Tell me what they do.
So the Andrew Wisher Foundation helps into families battling the financial burden of cancer. And so does the Tom Hopkins Foundation. And the Wisher family, Danny Wisher and Liam Hopkins, attending their events as well. They kind of opened my eyes to what could be accomplished as well. And the Hopkins Foundation has one of the largest 16-inch softball tournament, which is actually on Friday of this week. So
you're playing in that too?
I'm not. No, I've got too much going on.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, you got kind of a busy week.
Yep. And then the Andrew Wisher Foundation has one of the best live music events at Bourbon Street every year. They have, they sign on all these large name, big name artists. They just had OAR.
Wow.
And Steve Corbin. So it's great.
You are Mr. Special Events now, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Nice to have you on. Appreciate you coming over. It's Mitch Zeiler, and again, Certoma Center, C-E-N-T-R-E. Support it wherever you can, but have a good time Saturday night. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it, Steve.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We had the big Stars and Stripes White Eagle golf course tournament this weekend, and Chip and Mike and John invited me to play. It was fun. I had a few good shots here and there. Mm-hmm. They won last year. I wasn't on the team last year. They were defending. We didn't win this year. But I don't think it was me. Do you think it was me?
No,
it was
me. Because there could have been other factors that did not exist last year that existed this year, aside from 25% of the team,
right,
being different.
Sure wasn't me. And do you need to thank anybody for the fine time you had out in Skokie?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to thank everyone on the Skokie 4th of July Parade Committee, Alan Gerstner, who runs the whole show out there, and Roger Battish from our news department, who is the master of ceremonies. The mayor of Skokie, George Van Dusen, sat with him and his wife.
So you had a good time.
Had a really good time. It was a great time. And thanks to all of the listeners, including the guy who wanted my hat.
Has he ever called?
The hospitality.
He's not called. He's still angry. However, we're giving away another one of Dave's Northwestern hats.
Are we?
At 312-981-7200. Seventh caller gets one of Dave's Northwestern hats. As we're giving away all of Dave's Northwestern gear because he didn't give up his hat to a listener and a fan.
I feel so bad.
During the parade.
I really do. I feel terrible.
In front of his kids.
Yep.
Oh, boy. It's just shocking. Shocking. Absolutely shocking. Hey, you've ever heard of Joe Spangler? Mary Vandeveld, Steve, you know who Joe Spangler is?
No. Did he write the Star Spangled Banner?
Yes, the Star Spangled Banner. Joe Spangler is 66 years old, lives in Indiana, and every year... He lives in Fishers, Indiana. I'm not sure where that is. The 66-year-old spends all day transcribing the Declaration of Independence on his driveway in red, white, and blue chalk. And then it stays there until the rain washes it away.
How cool is that?
Isn't that cool? Does it every year.
Must have nice handwriting.
Nice yeah, cursive. It's pretty cool. There's pictures all over the net. I started doing it 10 years ago. His neighbor's very fond of the tradition. He says he's going to continue it as long as possible, though he gets a little more sore every year the next day when he wakes up after bending down and doing all that transcribing. But that's a cool thing.
Very cool.
It's in Fishers, Indiana. Joe Spangler, again, the Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, and he prints it.
Right.
He should be, like, cursiving it, shouldn't he? Is that a word, cursiving?
Cursiving it.
It is now. I lost some brain cells over the weekend. I'm not sure what happened.
I did.
You know what it was? Driving. It was the mosquitoes. The mosquitoes attacking your head.
Got bit up. I drove like 16 hours in a couple days. Yeah.
Well, you saw the grandkids, right?
I did not. No, I went up to our little cabin in the woods. Yes. No, I didn't have a chance to see them. But I will see them on vacation next week.
I'm going to see Abigail later today.
And you're not sick anymore, so that's good.
That's right. And Amy took Abigail to see Toy Story 4.
Did she love it?
She loved it.
Oh, yeah. You were supposed to go.
I was supposed to go. And Abigail's favorite character is Forky.
Oh, the new Forky.
Yeah, she did a little Forky walk for me. Said she would teach me the Forky walk. But my favorite part was when I told her that her dad, Ross, my son, really liked Woody and Buzz Lightyear from the movie. She said, which movie? She didn't quite get the concept. There had been four of them.
Oh.
So she was excited to talk to her dad about the fact that he knew about Toy Story. I think what she said to me was, Toy Story 4, it's fantastic. Pops, you must see it. I believe that was her review.
She's already a critic.
Yeah, totally. 9:30, back with the headlines coming up, 720 WGN.
Cool and at a bar, and I'm looking for some action. But like Mick Jagger said, I can't get no satisfaction. The girls are all around, but none of them want to get with me. My threads are fresh, and I'm looking deaf. Yo, what's up with LOC?
probably didn't know, Dave, that Jeremy Roenick was the real Tone Loc. You didn't know that, did you?
I did not know that.
It's Jeremy Roenick hockey camp time again. And Jeremy joins us now. He still need to, JR, you still need me to come out and be a goalie dummy? You know, something the guys can shoot at?
Hey, listen, we can use all the dummies that we can handle. There's no question about it. You're totally welcome to come out. Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me on today. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you been?
I've been great. In the process of traveling the West Coast and getting ready to head into Tahoe today for the big celebrity golf tournament that we have every year on NBC. And it's one of the best weeks of the year. And hopefully we can have a good showing there and find a way to get on TV again.
Here's the thing that people don't understand completely. Golf tournaments of the highest order, you get a nice swag bag. You get usually what happens is they have room set up. So when you go and you register, you get a player's badge. And then once you get the player's badge, they send you into rooms because their sponsor's tied to the tournament, and they'd like you to get free stuff. You know about the Oscars bag, Dave?
Sure, sure.
Yep.
It's a little like that. So how good is the stuff at the Lake Tahoe tournament?
It's amazing. And it's a fun thing that people overlook is going into the signups and seeing all the swag, like you call it, sitting on all the tables and being able to stuff your bag with watches or whether it's the Fitbits or whether the distance finders for the golf distance finders, range finders, all that stuff. So there's just a lot of fun things, and you know this tournament is does not disappoint. That's for sure.
What shape's your game in?
It's pretty good right now. Just played Pebble Beach and Spyglass the other day. Shot 75.
Whoa! Nice.
Two tough golf courses, and hitting up the Tahoe. The hair is a little thinner, and the ball will travel a little bit further. Hopefully, we hit it just as well. But it's making the putts that I'm hoping we get more of today.
Let me tell you something. You throw up those kind of numbers, you're definitely going to be on TV. Spyglass, still to me, and I've been lucky. I've played all over the country like you do all the time. Spyglass to me is still the toughest course in the country. Dave, I'm not kidding you when I tell you this. 18 holes and they're all uphill. How do you have 18 holes uphill?
Yeah, the other day was cold and kind of wet out too, so it played even longer. It was definitely a good test of golf. So I agree with you. It's one of my favorite golf courses in the country, but it's also one of the more strategic golf courses in the country. You just got to hit it in the right place.
All right, I want to talk to you about these current Blackhawks and all the changes that have been made, but first let's talk about your camp. Coming up when?
Coming up July 22nd. The sign-up is the 21st. We have an adult group that starts on Tuesday, which is always a lot of fun. We have ages 7 to 16. There are a few openings still remaining. You can go to jrhockeyschool.com. It is a fantastic week. Just so you guys know, I am on the ice every single second with the kids.
Right.
I have a lot of coaches that are with me. The kids get a lot of personal attention. There's a lot of good communication going back and forth, and I just love the interaction between myself and the kids, and I try to hit every single one of them many, many times in the course of a day. But it's not too often that athlete has a camp and literally is on the ice and is being engaged, every single hour of the camp, and that's how I like to do it. And it's a lot of fun, and it's coming up, like I said, in just about 2 weeks.
JRHockeyCamp.com, and I'll back you up on that. Listen, Dave, you know this as well.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys put their names on camps, and they'll do a drive-by.
Yep.
But JR's there the entire time.
Yeah.
The entire time. And by the way, my feet don't really like it, but being in skates for 6-7 hours a day, it's the massage at the end of the week is very good. But I'll tell you, the look on the kids' faces every single day when you tell them that they did a great job, when you show them how to do a proper shot, when you show them how to receive a pass, when they score a goal and you celebrate with them, it makes everything feel great. And I'll tell you that we just have a great time. It's jrhockeyschool.com. to go to sign up. And we, like I said, we also have an adult group that starts on Tuesday. So it's an hour and a half of playing, and then afterwards we usually go out to a local establishment, tell stories, and replenish all the fluids that we just burned off for an hour and a half.
Now, see, that's what you really want. You want to go and hear JR tell the stories about the old days.
Well, but some of the stories can't be shared with all of the campers. Well, you know what I mean?
The kids, you mean? JR,
not the campers, but the adult section becomes a little bit more of a... Yeah,
what's the minimum amount of experience, say, for the adult camp that your players would need to have? I mean, you're not talking about somebody who's never put on skates before, right?
Well, we've had a couple people in the past that have struggled to stay vertical, I should say, for lack of a better word. If you can get from one side to the other, if you can stand up and make sure that you can get from one place to another, we'll work with you and try to improve that ability to move around and feel comfortable on the skates. And I think that's what it's all about, is learning really your edge work, learning how to have another mode of transportation that allows you to be competitive and have fun and stay healthy, because it's one of the best workouts that you'll ever have, skating and getting out there, getting a good sweat. So we deal with everybody.
All right. Now, what about these current Blackhawks? Lots of changes, bringing in a couple of high-quality defensemen and an absolute A-line goalie. I mean, that's just part of the things going on. Pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. And I think, where they've been for the last couple of years has been disappointing. And I think for now, for Hawks fans, for what they expect, and for the team itself, for what they expect is underachieved. So for them to go out and improve their defense, which I think was the number one thing that they needed to do, is to go out and make sure that they acquired a couple quality players for that third and fourth kind of slot, where I don't think that was with their big problems over the last couple of years. Defense made way too many mistakes, left their goaltender stranded out in no man's land. Obviously, having Corey Crawford being injured for a lot of times, depending on Cam Ward, was very difficult. Going through as many goaltenders as they have was very difficult. So they have definitely assessed their needs and went out there and tried to fill those holes as much as possible. I think there's a lot to be excited about when you look at the Hawks starting the season.
What team should they be most concerned about in their division? You've got the reigning Stanley Cup champs now Dallas too.
Oh, Colorado, really?
Colorado
Avalanche has really gone out, and you saw what kind of splash they made last year and how well they played in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. McKinnon, Rantanen, Landeskog, how well they played. I think with the additions that they made on their team this year has probably been the best off-season rebuild of any team in the National Hockey League, of an already very good team. They're going to make a big splash next year. They have Cale Makar, who is the young rookie defensive phenom that'll have a full year under his belt. With him coming up, they're able to get rid of Tyson Barrie and get another good quality player and Nazem Kadri, who's going to add a lot of grit to their team. But it's them and Nashville. I think Nashville improved their team with Duchesne also. I think Winnipeg kind of did not help themselves. They've gotten worse. Minnesota has not done anything to make their aging team any better. But you're right, Dallas is going to be another tough team, Adam Pavelski. But it will be one of the toughest, if not the toughest, division in the league next year.
Who's caddying for you in Tahoe?
My son.
Cool is that?
He just turned 22 the other day. This will be, I think, the sixth year that he has been my caddy, and we absolutely have a blast. It's our favorite weekend of the year. We get to get on the golf course together, compete, have that father-son kind of bond, and play the game that we both love to play. And he's a very, very good golfer in his own right too. So it's nice to rely on a kid that has maybe a little bit more of a calmer mind than his dad. So it's a nice week.
And do you let him club you?
Absolutely do. And listen to his one of his best qualities is his putting. So I listen very, very hard to his reads of the greens, and hopefully I hit him in the right place that he tells me to, and we make a lot of birdies this week and can have a good showing and maybe see a lot of people on TV on Sunday afternoon.
Nice. Play well, buddy.
I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me plug the hockey school. Let me one more time say jrhockeyschool.com. There's only a few spots remaining, both for the 7 to 16-year-olds and for the adult group that starts on Tuesday. So we'd love to see everybody out there in Vernon Hills on the 22nd of July.
Well, it's going to be fun as always. Thank you. That's Jeremy Roenick from your Chicago Blackhawks, from the NHL Network, from his golf bag, from everywhere. 75 at Pebble and Spyglass.
Pretty impressive.
Okay.
He was always a good golfer.
You know, hockey players, the best hockey players usually are. They got that wrist slap shot kind of thing going on.
Well, you know, they're used to shooting at something that's moving really fast. Now it's just sitting there.
That's a fair point. Yeah, fair point.
Dude, you saw the video of him with the rattlesnake, right?
I know.
What was that, a 5-iron?
Yeah, I just listened. It's the G and John show today. Jason Key and John Hanson will be in here for Bill and Wendy. Coming up in just a couple minutes. I mean, unless you don't want them to. You're the Grand Marshal. If you want to shut it down, you can shut it down.
Should I take my sign down now that our show's over?
Maybe they'll tear it down first.
Well, I'd rather take it.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, we should take it down. We'll take one more break. We'll come back. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve will be next. All right, Bill and Wendy are involved in a super secret mission today.
Oh.
There is a station meeting. Where we're going to plot something. And then tomorrow I'll come in.
Are you going to be there?
All the details. Yeah, if I can, you know, listen. With my ADD, I'm going to leave here in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And my intent is to go to the meeting. If I end up just driving 40 miles west and forget.
Yeah, we'll see you there, huh?
Do you want me to call you, like, after 10 minutes or so? Steve, do you remember where
you make it 30? Because I wouldn't be able to turn around in time if you make it 30. What are you guys
just
doing?
Far enough. Oh, that's a great question. We're going to be talking about a little bit of the World Cup. We're going to talk about...
How cool was that? Come
that
on.
That was awesome.
Unbelievable.
Just a huge moment for the country, for huge groups of people. So we're going to break all that down and really settle up whether they should get equal pay. It's about time for that to happen.
Why is it even a discussion, right?
I don't know.
Thank you.
It doesn't make any sense, especially when you break down all the economic and financial numbers. Also, on like the sunniest day of the year, we're going to talk about whether it's affordable yet to get solar panels on your roof. And someone's going to come by and tell us why it should be.
The dirty talk. Look at you going to the hot stuff right away. Solar panel segment.
We don't stay away from anything. Those hot topics we go
too
after.
Hot for other stations. Solar panel talk coming up.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. So, all right,
sole reason I stayed away from it today, I didn't want to steal it from
right
see you tomorrow.
Go to the meeting.
I'm going.